This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I am John.
And this week we are talking about LEGO Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy.
Tom, when do you remember the last time you played a LEGO game that was Star Wars?
See now, I know that your answer is going to be a long time ago.
Yes.
But I think the last time I played a LEGO Star Wars game was last October. I think I played it on Halloween because all my friends were going out clubbing and I wasn't allowed to go. It was because it was a women-only bar. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay home and play LEGO Star Wars.
That is such a vibe, honestly. I love LEGO Star Wars. LEGO Star Wars has many, many memories for me growing up. I loved the sets, you know, building the sets. I loved the games. And then over the years, we got LEGO content, like the LEGO movie. That film was so good. We had so many LEGO specials and stuff. And now we've got something that is very reminiscent to the LEGO animation that we had. And LEGO has so much creativity and so much freedom with its comedy as well. You can see that in this show as well, which I absolutely love. And I had fun with this show. It just really reminded me of those good old days. The good old days.
I should put some rousing inspirational music behind that speech of just the meaning of LEGO. I mean, yeah. Any long-term listeners of the podcast will know I'm a fiend. I had to delay this podcast recording by an hour because I was applying for a job at LEGO, genuinely. And I really hope I get it because anyone who knows me knows that is literally the perfect job for me.
It is the perfect job, yes. It's funny because you've been building LEGO for such a long time and I recently got back into it because I still have two massive, massive boxes filled with LEGO that I haven't built, but then I got new sets and I was like, okay, I want to get into the habit of building stuff again. And I love it. It's great. It's so much fun just to build things.
You need to get that LEGO out of the box and build. He's got some vintage sets in there. Well, I guess
Chima,
vintage from now.
If Chima, anyone knows Chima.
Dude. But we're not here to talk about Chima. We're here to talk about
Chima.
Way back when we actually did the LEGO Star Wars Holiday Special on the pod. And I just think that these LEGO shorts, these LEGO shows, they're so much fun. They are just a delight. And I gotta say, it's been quite the month for Star Wars. I mean, it's a time I can't.
Yeah,
I mean, we knew I was going to get into it. It's time I can't put into words. You know, if you follow the pod, you'll know that we love The Acolyte and the cancellation, it sucks. And the fallout of that, what we've seen actors and creators face, it's frankly disgusting. And it comes from people who I don't believe even deserve to be called Star Wars fans. And I can't wait to have them in the comments of this very video. Somehow the franchise's direction seems to kind of be catering towards them, to this hegemonic elite who seem to be on some sort of crusade to make the saga boring until the end of time. I don't want to get bogged down into that though. So what I've done is I've included some links in the description, things that we as fans can do to let Lucasfilm and Disney know that we want more for The Acolyte and that these voices don't speak for us. And also some really important information about these voices, these YouTube channels, and their negative impact upon numerous fandoms and real people. Information that I think YouTube in particular should be listening to and acting on, because to be paid for this kind of hateful rhetoric it's appalling. And some of the attacks in this last week, I mean, Star Wars Explained, one of the greatest Star Wars channels ever. I've had the pleasure of meeting Alex and Molly at Celebration last year, and just delightful, delightful people. And for them to be attacked, it's ridiculous. It's been a tough time to be a Star Wars fan. And I feel like that's something that's been happening again and again. You know, numerous groups are attacked for their enjoyment and involvement in the franchise. And so I felt that what I needed as a fan was some fun, and I boot up this special, 4 episodes long, and you know what? It was exactly the fun that I needed. It was enjoyable. It was light. It had that LEGO kick to it, which made the whole thing even more special. It had so many little nods to fans, and I just had a great time.
It was so fun, especially, you know, the negativity that's been happening in the Star Wars fandom. This show was such a vibe. It just really reminded me, you know, watching the LEGO movie, or the LEGO Batman movie as well. And the comedy was just on point every time. It just kept moving and moving and moving. And yeah, like the Lego kick as well. You know, he's got that the energy, that vibe all the way through. There's one thing I absolutely love about this show is that it doesn't forget about the characters in Star Wars at all. Like Rose, we haven't completely forgot about Rose as a character.
Yeah.
Which is great to see, because Kelly Marie Tran, she went through a lot of hate for the character as Rose in The Last Jedi. And it was really sad to see her character just turn into nothing in The Rise of Skywalker. But here, it was just great to see her as like a Sith Lord. I'm really glad that they gave these characters a bit of closure in that, like, they're not integral, but they are actually part of the story. They actually use them in for that whole world to see. And here we have this one with Rebuild the Galaxy. It feels like an Elseworlds story, which I'm really happy to see, because we have Elseworlds stories as well, like Marvel, what they're doing, but that is way too messy, trying to reinforce the multiversal thing. But here they've done it lightly with the multiversal thing. It's not forced. It's not trying to rub it in into this world. It's a completely different world, new rules, new characters that old characters get to replace as some of the characters as well. And it was really funny to see that in the story where Wookiees are the Ewoks. I knew I was gonna mess that up.
It's fine. He was doing a bit. It's from the show. It's fine.
Doing a bit from the show, guys. Don't worry. Yeah, with the Ewoks, the villains. We saw Darth Rey as well, which was so cool.
Yeah, there was loads
Darth
of
Jar Jar. Darth Jar Jar, man.
No. The prophecy. I mean, I loved just seeing so many corners of the galaxy get represented. Sequels, originals, prequels. It's all there. You've got stuff from Andor. You've got stuff from Young Jedi Adventures. You name it, it's probably in there. There's mentions of so many different corners of the galaxy. And it's like, we're celebrating all of it. We're poking fun at the stupid stuff. We're poking fun at the great stuff. None of it feels too sacred. And like, you can't really complain about this show. No one's complaining about canon breaks. Canon is what you make of it as a fan. This very much reminded me of something like Visions, where you can just kind of say, yeah, if you want it to be canon, it can be canon, I guess. But it really exists on its own plane of existence. And there's been a lot of people who have been calling for Star Wars What If, you know, a multiversal Star Wars story. I personally think that's a little bit boring. We as fans have always entertained those ideas, but do we really need to see a whole show about what if Anakin never turned to the dark side? Because if Anakin never turned to the dark side, then the saga will be over pretty quickly, you know? And so
you'll see the closing credits. It's just like, yeah, oh, that's it, guys.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah. And I really like the idea that we can just kind of explore that in some fun ways. As you said, we get to see Rose back, and Kelly Marie Tran comes back to play her, which is amazing. And also Janna, Naomi Aki coming back as well. She barely gets any play in Rise of Skywalker. There's a bunch of actors who are back, which is always great to see. And it's so fun to kind of follow all of them. But the GOATs. This is one for the Lego fans, because Jedi Bob is
Jedi
here.
Bob!
And
yeah.
I am so thrilled that he was in this show, because my god, anyone who knows about Jedi Bob knows that he's a mythic in the Lego community. So to have this show, give him a Star Wars style name. I can't even remember it, but it's like Bobberanium something ridiculous. But like Jedi Bob is his nickname that he hates. We're giving him a character. He's played by Bobby Moynihan, who does it really well. I love this idea that we're taking such a small cat. He is a glupshitter, and we're taking that glupshitter and we're just kind of like moving along with him. Yeah. It's so fantastic.
Yeah, and one of the things that reminded me of you, Tom, was at the beginning of the story, Sig, he was telling about the Star Wars like lore and stuff, and then he was about to say like, oh, and then we're going to talk about Grand Admiral Thrawn. That reminded me of you. You were talking about Thrawn all the time, and it's like, oh my god, is Thrawn abandoning this planet with Ezra? And oh my god, and it's reminded me of you. You told me so many different stories across the galaxy, and it's just like, Star Wars is massive, but also there's so many things.
It's always like that Malcolm in the Middle meme whenever you ask me a Star Wars question. I'm like, John, there's no turning back if you ask me this. There's only one thing. It's like, we're gonna talk about Imma Gundai, the greatest character.
I thought Imma Gundai was gonna appear out of the story. I was like, you know what, let's have Imma Gundai in this story.
If there's any place for Imma Gundai to appear, please, it has to be, because I think that this show kind of sets it up for a season two. I'd absolutely love to see more of this, because there's so many infinite possibilities, and come on, bring him back. Maybe he didn't die in this universe. Maybe he's Imma didn't die. Maybe that's the twist. And actually, he's God in this universe, right? Like,
I didn't die.
I'm a Gundai, I didn't die. It's poetic.
I'm a Gundai, I didn't die. That's a pretty hard name.
To be
Yeah. Oh, the
fair,
Gonk Droid. I want the
yeah,
Gonk
well,
Droid.
I was gonna say, I thought that, like, you know, at the beginning when you get the whole like Disney Plus Star Wars bit where it's like, look at all the helmets and all the faces, and then the Gonk Droid is like, Gonk. I couldn't help but think of you and just be like, I bet John's so happy right now because his Glup Shitto, the Gonk Droid, got the representation that it deserved. And if that wasn't enough, the Gonk Droid gets a voice, and it's none other than Michael Cusack, the creator of Smiling Friends and Bushworld Adventures. What?
What a great day to be a Gonk Droid fan. Oh
What a
my God.
wonderful
What a
day!
wonderful day. Yeah, that was
Oh my
so
God.
awesome. That was so awesome to hear that because I was like, wait a minute, that's the guy who went crazy in Bushworld Adventure and then Smiling Friends as well. And I was like, yeah, that's definitely Michael Cusack. That was awesome. That was so cool to hear him as a droid in this one. And it was just like, yes, this is a great day. This is a great day. Oh my God. But yeah, I loved this character. He wasn't too annoying like Claptrap. Borderlands,
Yes.
I'm looking at you.
It's a good point. It's easy to get those characters wrong. And also in Star Wars, every time they introduce a new droid, I'm always like, okay, are we gonna just do what we did before? But like, you have your B2 Emos, you have your L337s, you have your K2SOs. They're all different. They're all different flavors of that kind of droid archetype. And it can be difficult to get that right. But the Gonk was so cute and adorable and just his little one-liners. And I gotta say, if it wasn't Michael Cusack, like another actor could have got that wrong. But I think the voice cast just throughout were just did fantastic. I think particularly Gaten Matarazzo and Tony Revolori, who are at the center of this, these two brothers who really, you got to sell that dynamic. And for a saga that is kind of central around Luke and Leia, these two siblings, we don't get a lot of play with them as siblings in the movies. They really get, in my opinion, two scenes in the entire saga to really explore that dynamic. And that's not a criticism. I love that. But I really like the idea that we actually have these two brothers here and we can explore the idea of like what happens when they're separated. What does that feel like? And I think it's really wonderful to kind of dig into that a little bit. And hopefully, yeah, like if we do a season two, go into that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think they look into the character dynamics of the siblings. And the one thing I love about this show as well is that they don't go into the, oh, you need to rebuild the universe the way it was. And I love the ending to that. It's about Sig who wants to tell his story from his galaxy. And I think that was a great arc for him to understand. He might not go back to his old galaxy, but he can tell his story. I think that was pretty profound in terms of like with Star Wars, is like Star Wars keeps growing. You know, there's so many stories to tell or many more characters to see in this world. Oh, at the ending as well, we had the Landalorian.
I was like, what? Because I could recognize the voice. I was like, that's Lando for sure. And
Yeah.
then the land, brilliant. Just
Brilliant.
come on. Like, this is, I'm so glad that we covered this because it's peak content. I love it. But I'd want to say, genuinely, that is a really fantastic point about the ending because, dude, it's meta. But genuinely, as a Star Wars story, it's kind of about Star Wars fans, right? Like, Sig is this character who really is obsessed with all the stories and he loves telling and, you know, experience them again and again. But what he learns is you can't rewrite the story that we're telling. A lot of Star Wars fans, what do? They beg to wipe something from canon. They beg to redo the sequels. They beg to bring back legends. These stories are how they are, and we aren't the ones who shape them. The ones who shape them are a lucky few and a talented few. And I think it's brilliant that this show actually comments on the insistent need of a lot of fans to tell it exactly the way that they want it. But that's never going to happen. It's never going to be exactly the way. If it happens exactly as you want it, then you are very, very lucky. But that's not how these stories go. And for Sig to learn that lesson, I thought was really beautiful. And it was a level of profundity that I didn't expect from this, but I
Yeah,
was
very
really,
profound.
really
Yeah.
happy that it was there.
Yeah, that social commentary on that with fans and stuff, because it's like there's a lot of things that are happening around writers as well. They're trying to shape their own stories or trying to do their own things. And maybe it's the author at play or is that the fans? And I think Star Wars, again, it's a massive universe and people are just complaining about trying to get things wiped away from canon or trying to stop shows and stuff. Like, especially the backlight. They're thinking, oh no, there's a woman that directed this show and she tried to shape Star Wars. Oh my God. And it's just so sad to see when fans are just trying to call themselves Star Wars fans and try to use that just to shut down a show. And it's like, you need to take a step back and think about there's so many things that are happening in Star Wars and you're complaining about that. We're here with Siggy, he's telling the story about Star Wars. He's not changing it. He told exactly what it was in the story. I mean, there's some stupid things, but again, Star Wars is, you know, it has mistakes. But who cares? At the end of the day, it's about enjoying and watching something together that has some social political aspects in the show. And that's what it was. That's what the show is trying to express.
Yeah, I was really surprised and pleased about that whole aspect. And even at the end, Sig writes down the timeline of his universe so he can remember it. And it really is just like the wiping of Star Wars legends. It might not be the universe that we are following, we are in now, but it doesn't mean it never happened. It doesn't mean that it's not important. And I really enjoyed that idea. I really kind of would have loved this show to be 22 episodes. Feels like,
give me 22 episodes. Yeah, give me everything that you got, please.
It feels like so many TV shows now where I watched the four episodes and I was like, this is great. Why don't we have more of this? And my biggest criticism of this show would be, it feels like every episode runs at breakneck speed. And it's like, if we slowed down, we could tell this story so much more richer and so much more slowly. And yeah, sure, I get it. You know, it's a Lego show. It's not taking everything to, but no, the Lego movie is one of the most profound and heartfelt animated films.
Very true.
And it knocks you off guard with just how beautiful and poignant it is.
The ending.
And
man.
So the ending exactly. It's so brilliant. I haven't seen that film in so many years, but like even thinking about it, it's a beautiful film. And so I don't think that this series is above that. I do absolutely think that it deserves to be given that extra time. If we get season two, make it more than four episodes. Yeah, maybe 22 might be a stretch. Maybe it'd be like, maybe double it. See what eight episodes, what we can explore. But it feels like there's so much that we're doing here. There's so many stories going on. You can dig so much deeper into everything, into the creativity, into the worlds that we've made, into the, what's it even called? The Mos Eisley...
Marina.
That, yes.
Marina, there you go.
Like, let's dig into that planet. Spend an episode on that planet. Let's think about this kind of Luke or these kinds of Jedi with... Jedi Palpatine and Jedi Jabba, or like an episode where they're in the prison, like in Andor, or an episode where it's this whole climax and we really get to dig deep into the relationship.
And can we, oh my God, please, can we have the Akbar, the clone Akbars? Can we have something like that, like in Bad Batch? Can we have the Bad Batch story in this one with the Akbars?
Exactly.
Please, give us that. Please.
Those of you who can't see John, which is everyone apart from me, he's literally rocking backward and forwards.
Please,
getting up on his chair.
I need the Atmore Akbar, but the bad Akbar.
Oh my God, yes. The Akbar batch. The back bar? Is that anything? Is that something? I don't know.
I don't know. That would be amazing. Think... Please.
Yeah. And I do think this show could have gone deeper. We could have seen more of all the characters and explored a lot. I don't think we're beyond that. I think, you know, there is something here. And I think there would be fantastic. But, you know, even so, they do a lot with what they're given. I think every action scene is extremely exciting to watch. The animation is fantastic. Like you said earlier, it's the animation style of the Lego movie. It feels blocky and, you know, rigid in a perfect kind of way. And I really loved the final fight between Sig and Dev, because Sig is just jumping and like the blocks are forming underneath him. And it all feels like you're a kid and you've just taken your action figures out and, or your Lego more specifically. And you've just, you know, you're just having fun with it. You've made stuff. I remember when I was younger, I had a Millennium Falcon and I took the front two bits off it and the cockpit off it and just made it into like a flying saucer. And some of the stuff they do in this show, like when they make the TIE fighters and the X-Wings and they combine the two together and you've got like the TIE wings and the X-Fighters. That's all just really, really cool, man.
Oh, and the really cool thing is that they released the Lego sets this show. What they've done is the Dark Falcon. Very tempted to get that. But even though there's many more Lego sets that I want to get. Zelda set.
I saw the Zelda set in person today, and I mean, and then I'm sorry, but my dad had the audacity to say that I'm not a Zelda. He was like, "You're not a Zelda fan, are you?" And I was like, "Sorry, Skyward Sword says otherwise."
Excuse me, Ocarina of Time. Excuse me.
It's a great opportunity to make more sets as well, because there's now a set out there with Jedi Bob for the first time in 22 years, and we have the X-Wing TIE Fighter set, which, you know, you can buy if you want an X-Wing or a TIE Fighter, or you can combine the two. Do you want Darth Jar Jar and Jedi Vader? Yes, you do, and you can have it. You can buy it. It's out there. The future is out there, John.
The future of Lego. Oh my God, the creativity and building worlds together is so much fun. Yeah, I think there was like a massive surge of populace with Lego lately.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, adult Lego has become a big thing now. And so more than ever, it feels like kids and adults can enjoy it together, which is, I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and then there's Lego Ideas. Lego Ideas has so many cool concepts, and you can submit your ideas onto the website.
What if I just submit a pitch for season 2, but it's 22 episodes, and Darth I'm a Gundai is there, and it's all about the power struggle between all these different factions in the galaxy, and we're going to bring the Mandalorian into it. That's right. I'm using Lego Ideas in a way that no one has ever used it before. I'm using it to create the perfect season 2 of this. Lucasfilm, hire me.
You know what would be crazy? If like, okay, what? Emma Gunday would get the other glob shitters in his team, and he's just like,
oh my
all
God.
Of that. And Emma Gunday would be like, God. I am.
I'm a Gunday leads the charge. We've got Claude. We've got C.O. Bibble. We've got Massa Mida. We've got Sly Moore. We've got Dr. Evazan. Actually, Dr. Evazan was in this show, so you know, fair deuce. But oh God, never try and list Glubshitters in quick succession, because I was struggling there. I was like, Dr. Evazan? No, he was already in
the
it.
Clones as well. The clones, Star Wars memes. Am I right? There's so many great memes as well in Star Wars that I love, like the people memes.
Last week, I went to the cinema to see Revenge of the Sith. Our local cinema is doing every Star Wars film 10 weeks. This week is Rogue One. I'm so excited. Don't get me started about how they're not showing Solo. And during Revenge of the Sith, whenever the memes happen, you can feel the energy in the room. You can just feel it. And actually, there's some brilliant moments in this show that actually work with some of those memes. There's a moment where Palpatine does unlimited power, and he says, do it. And that's really great. And we didn't see Obi-Wan, but I'm sure if we did, we'd get a lovely hello there. But I feel like this show creates memes in itself just because we get to see some of those characters. We get to see C-3PO as this homicidal maniac, and we get to see Darth Maul as a Lando-esque figure, but you're still voiced by Sam Witwer. It's a delight. I grinned throughout the entire thing because I was just like, this is just fun. It's just fun.
It is fun. It's a really fun show.
Ah, yes. What are you going to give it out of 10?
I'm going to give it an 8.
Yeah, me too. Nice. 8 out of 10. Thank you everybody for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, we're doing Joker, the original Joker. We're going to get depressed. We're going to go into incel territory.
That was such a weird cinema experience. The controversy around it for some reason about the film and stuff. It was a weird time.
Yeah, I'm interested to rewatch it because at the time I gave it a 10 out of 10. I loved it. I thought it was absolutely excellent. And I guess now is going to be the time to see, like, does it really hold up, or is it just kind of like...
We live in society.
Yeah. Is it going to be like we're trying to emulate Scorsese and that's the appeal? Does that still hold
with
up?
King
it's
of Comedies?
Really
Yeah, that one.
And Taxi Driver. That was the kind of big critique. I guess we'll see. Tune in next week. You can send us an email at outoftimefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Joker. We'll be recording next Saturday, so let us know your thoughts on Joker by then, and we'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
And you can follow us on Instagram at outoftimefilmpod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Asville, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me as well, sometimes I do, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts, and you can find the links to that all in the description below. Thanks to L. James Miller for the excellent theme, and Roland Phillips for us as always. And I think that's everything, really.
Yeah, great, cool. Good
stuff. Take what you're giving.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.